It makes no difference which one of us you vote for. Either way, your planet is doomed. Doomed!
These candidates make me want to vomit in terror. I've got to stop them!
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Hello to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome! Welcome to our top stories this hour. Welcome to The Big Lead. The Joe Biden press conference is still going on. He's making his first remarks after the midterms. I'll have a little more of that for you as we proceed through The Big Lead here. But I want to begin with a local story. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
Yesterday morning at Ingram High School, there was a murder. A student was shot and killed. The suspect who was caught, great job by Seattle police, by the way. Within hours, they caught the suspect on a bus. The suspect is in court this afternoon. Parents at Ingram High School have told me this is a gang-related shooting, that the kid who got shot and killed yesterday, he was part of a group of boys who jumped the shooter several days ago. Now, all this is going to come out in court and the details of what has gone down. This is what parents at Ingram have told me, that he had been, the shooter was jumped several days ago by a bunch of kids. Again, presumably this was gang related. And then one of the kid who got jumped, shot and killed, one of the jumpers. And so that's the sad story of what's happening in our schools. All too often, we have tragedies like this in Seattle. We're on a record murder pace in the state of Washington. But I want to bring to your attention a Facebook post by a teacher at Ingram High School. And we've reached out to this teacher. I'm not going to give his name. I will tomorrow once we see if we get any feedback. Say again. Oh, it's an Instagram post, not Facebook. Thank you. Instagram post. So this teacher took a picture of himself and several of his students during the lockdown yesterday when the shots rang out. And the teacher wrote on Instagram, "This is a picture of my students and I in lockdown today." First of all, nice grammar. If you can't use proper grammar, I don't know if you should be teaching high school, but that's a whole other subject. "This is a picture of my students and I in lockdown today after a student with a gun shot another student multiple times in the hall about 50 yards from my classroom. That poor kid is dead. My students were amazing in this horrible situation. I did okay too. But this shouldn't have happened at all. Our unwillingness as a nation to do anything about our gun problem is maddening and psychotic." And then he wrote, "If you didn't vote blue today, F you." And he wrote out the F word. "If you didn't vote blue today, F you. The only way to stop this madness is to vote progressive, so that we can have a minuscule chance to change gun laws in this country. I'm in the anger stage of grief at the moment. I'm not going to argue about this. I'm done. As a teacher, I've been done for years on this topic, but now it's happened to me personally, and I'm raging. Guns are the problem, period." Okay, I can't begin to express just how juvenile, how poorly written, and how insane these teachers' comments are. Let's start with the fact that he teaches in Seattle. And the voters of Seattle and King County and Washington State have voted blue for most of his lifetime. And this still happened in his school. Voting blue doesn't change anything. In fact, I would make the argument that voting blue is a huge part of the problem, because that's why we have such gang madness. That's why we've defunded the police. That's why Seattle police are about a third of being fully staffed. It's why schools got rid of school resource officers. It's because of politicians who have made cops the enemy and criminals the protected class. If voting blue is the answer, then why did a kid get shot and murdered yesterday when people have done nothing but vote blue in your city, your school district, your county, your state for your life? And then secondly, this is a public school teacher, and presumably some of the parents in this kid's classroom didn't vote blue yesterday. And I wonder if he would have the courage to go nose to nose with one of those parents and shout, F you. Because I know a lot of dads who, if some teacher shouted F you in their face, who would deck the guy for that. But he's probably one of those, you know, really brave people on social media and on Instagram with this post. But I doubt if he would do it nose to nose with a dad in his classroom who didn't vote the way the teacher told him to vote. This is an absolutely outrageous, juvenile way for a public school teacher to react to this shooting. And in fact, I would suggest that he is role modeling the exact problem that leads to things like murders in the schools. When your reaction is, oh, I'm upset, so I'm going to say F you to a bunch of parents who don't vote like me. When you extend that kind of juvenile mentality out a few ripples, that's when you have people who settle violence or settle disputes with violence by shooting each other. And it is a blue wave throughout this region that has led to so many criminals running free, to so many juveniles with the no youth jail approach in King County. Juveniles commit violent crimes and get away with it. The gangs have absolutely no fear of committing violent crimes because they know that if they're under the age of 18, that they're going to get, at best, a tiny slap on the wrist. And this teacher is so blinded by his partisanship that he's willing to say F you to parents and to everybody who doesn't think like him. It's guys like this that lead to the kind of violence that he decries with his post. Then the other question that he could never answer is, how would you protect law-abiding, Second Amendment-loving gun owners and get guns out of the hands of criminals? Because every single gun law that has been proposed does the exact opposite. It removes guns from the law-abiding because they're the only ones who are going to follow the new gun laws. And the criminals always get them. I'm guessing if this was a juvenile gang banger at Ingram High School, he probably didn't go to a gun shop and buy this gun. There are 300 million guns in America, and nobody can wave a magic wand and make them all disappear. And every law that is proposed would take guns away from the law-abiding, Second Amendment-following gun owners, and it would keep guns in the hands of the criminals. But this teacher, he can't see that. He can't see beyond the tip of his nose. But to have a public school teacher posting a picture of him and his students locked down, screaming F you at people who didn't vote the correct way, in his view, proposing that voting blue would solve problems when we've done nothing but vote blue and the problem keeps getting worse and worse and worse. We'll reach out to this teacher. That's why I'm not giving his name. I'll give his name tomorrow. But he's a little juvenile is what he is. He's got the same mentality as the kids run around into school who are committing acts of violence by just screaming obscenities and talking about laws that are fanciful. Complete, total, utter fantasy laws that he thinks would somehow remove guns from the hands of criminals. It's disgusting. You want an example of what's wrong in our schools? Teachers like this. Teachers who role model That sort of hatred and intolerance. That's what the problem is. When somebody like that has a position of leadership, it does far more damage than any politician could ever do on either side of the aisle. We will stay posted on that story for you. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
The election aftermath. We are waiting for a vote dump out of the 3rd District. That seems to be the only congressional race in the state that still is somewhat interesting. Right now, Marie Perez, the Democrat, has an 11,000 vote lead over Joe Kent. I'll play for you 2:30. We talked to Joe Kent a couple of hours ago. He was in almost the exact same situation after the primary a few months ago in August. He was down 11,000 votes, exactly the same number that he's down now. But he had three other Republicans that he was running against that would split the vote, presumably. The New York Times still projects Joe Kent as a likely winner of this congressional race. And that would be huge for the Democrats because control of the House still is somewhat in doubt. If Joe Kent won Washington 3rd, then it would be a big step for Republicans toward controlling the House. We'll find out more. We're expecting about 4 o'clock this afternoon to be another vote tranche, a tranche of votes coming down out of Southwest Washington. As I said at the beginning of the show, I don't ever let my personal happiness rise and fall with elections. I prefer to control what I can control and the things I can control in life. Very happy. Got a wonderful wife of 35 years, 3 daughters, a job I'm crazy about. People I work with, like Nicole and Andrew and Aaron, that I just think the world of. So now I'm very blessed. I'm not going to let my personal emotions rise and fall with elections. But that doesn't stop me from analyzing the madness of elections. I don't understand. For example, a pathological liar, according to his own dad, is in the lead by 2,000 votes in Washington's 10th district. A guy named Clyde Shavers. Clyde Shavers claimed to be a United States Navy submarine officer. He claimed that he was a lawyer. He claimed that he grew up homeless. He claimed that he grew up in a farming family. And last week, Clyde Shavers' father came out and said, "I love my son, but I can't let our family be tarnished with all of these lies." He's not a Navy submarine officer. And by the way, the stolen valor thing, you would think, especially in the 10th Legislative District, which includes Whidbey Island, the home of the Naval Air Station, the stolen valor thing's claiming to be a Navy submarine officer when you're not? I would have thought that would have been a kiss of death. But amazingly, it wasn't. He's still up 2,000 votes. His dad made it clear that he's a pathological liar, his son. And the Democrats still voted for him, which is a huge problem of the way our elections are structured right now. I'll get back to that in just a moment. When the Democratic Party chair, Tina Podlodowski, came on, she tried to pull off a little bit of theater on our show on Monday, but we called her out on it. She and Jay Inslee, they were trying to punk us. And while I had her on the line, I said, "Hey, do you still stand by this pathological liar, Clyde Shavers?"
"Well, we have you on the line.
I've got to get back on the road, Dory. I'm so sorry.
And he lied completely about his credentials and his background. Does your party still support Clyde Shavers?"
"You know, I think that Clyde has cleared up where there has been misrepresentations for it. What I don't think we have is somebody. What I don't think we have, though, is somebody who is honest and Brad Clifford in Secretary of State lying about election results. And that's why it's so important for folks to be able to do this work and make certain." Sorry.
"What was misrepresented about Clyde Shavers?"
Sorry. Okay.
Just tell me what was misrepresented about Clyde Shavers.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me, Tina?
Hello?
And she pretended like the call dropped out. We presume one of her staffers, because the call was fine throughout, we presume one of her staffers, she signaled them, call me, call my line. And that's when you hear the little call waiting thing click. And then she claimed, even though she could hear me, fine, she heard my questions and then tried to answer them. But this is how you win, apparently. You have a pathological liar who you put forth for the state house, who lies about being a submarine officer while representing part of Whidbey Island in his legislative district. The Democrat Party stands by him. The head of the chair of the Democrat Party, Tina Podlodowski, pretends that her phone cuts out when I ask her about their continued support of a pathological liar. She says he cleared up misrepresentations and, oh, his dad was lying about his son being a pathological liar. And that's what succeeds. I don't understand that. I don't understand people who vote for somebody who is a liar about every aspect of his life, according to the guy's own father. And yet, he's going to be a member of the Democratic House in Olympia if his 2,000 vote lead holds up. And 2,000 votes is a pretty good margin in that legislative district, so it probably will. So then what happens? Are the Democrats going to demand that Clyde Shavers resigns because he is a pathological liar? Are the people of the 10th Legislative District, are the people of Whidbey Island, are the military people of the Naval Air Base, are they going to rise up and say, wait, we can't have this guy in Olympia? Well, then the Democrats get to name his replacement. How convenient. They would rather put forth a pathological liar than to be decent and honest with the people. But, you know, Pennsylvania, the cradle of democracy in America, a brain-damaged man has won a seat in the United States Senate. John Fetterman beat Mehmet Oz. I will never understand how anybody that watched that debate could send somebody who is so clearly brain-damaged to the Senate. But this gets back to the problem with how our elections are structured. In Washington, about half the votes had already been cast in the liar Clyde Shavers legislative district before his father exposed him as a pathological liar. In Pennsylvania, voting had been open for more than a month before the debate. And this is what the Democrats have counted on. Is you get as many people to vote and you hide as much as you can about pathological liars or people whose brains have been damaged by a stroke. You just trust that people are going to vote because there's a D next to their name and will keep from them as long as possible their lying or their brain damage. And that's how you can win elections in America. I've said many times, I think we should go back to having election day be one day. I hate mail-in voting. I think you should show ID. You should then sign a book that matches your voter registration signature. And then you should cast your ballot. But we have months of mail-in votes. We have the states that haven't called it yet? Same ones as in 2020. Nevada and Arizona. In Florida, when there were all kinds of problems in the Bush versus Gore 2000 election, Florida got together and they fixed their election problems and they were very fast to report everything last night. But the states where there were massive problems in 2020 and secretaries of state that have created a system that opens up the possibility of massive fraud, those are the exact same states where things are still up for grabs 24 hours after election night last night. It's crazy. Elections in America. It's a broken system right now. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news. I'll tell you what Joe Kent had to say about his election night and why the New York Times still says they think he's going to come back and win it. Check in more with the press conference that just ended with Joe Biden. Lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. feedback from you on the story we led the big lead with this hour about a teacher at Ingram High School. We are reaching out, so I'm not giving his name. I'll do that tomorrow. But he's a filmmaking, art and story photography teacher. And as a student was murdered yesterday at Ingram High School, he posted on Instagram, "This is a picture of my students and I in lockdown today." This guy went to Western Washington to get his teaching certificate. Really, they should teach you just proper, basic grammar, English, just a thought if you're going to be a teacher. "This is a picture of my students and I in lockdown today after a student with a gun shot another student multiple times in the hall about 50 yards from my classroom. That poor kid is dead. My students were amazing in this horrible situation. I did okay, too. But this shouldn't have happened at all. Our unwillingness as a nation to do anything about our gun problem is maddening and psychotic. If you didn't vote blue today, F you." And he wrote out all four letters in the F word. "The only way to stop this madness is to vote progressive so that we can have a minuscule chance to change gun laws in this country." Hey, question for you, Mr. Teacher. Presumably, the suspect is under the age of 18. Children are prohibited from having guns. Why did that gun law not work on the shooter at your school yesterday? If gun laws are the answer to everything, and I would like to know if this guy would have the guts to, if there's a father of a kid in his class who didn't vote straight blue, if he would say F you right in that person's face, or if he's just role modeling for his kids that you can be a real big coward on social media and say the most vile things. Of course, that's what leads to things like school shootings, but this guy's leftist ideology is far more important to him than anything. I'm getting a lot of feedback. "Dory, as I'm hearing this teacher's post, my eyes rolled into the back of my head. It's interesting," and this is from the 253, "it's interesting how many far-left progressives say democracy was on the line. This teacher said F you to somebody who exercised their freedom and their right to express their opinion and their right to vote. Who's putting democracy on the line now, I ask?" It's a very fair question. 425, "This doesn't sound like a gun problem at all. In fact, it sounds like a criminal thug problem in their school, in which I'm guessing they probably protect the criminals instead of forcefully expelling them for violent behavior and assault upon another student." And that's what parents have been telling me, that this was an extension of a gang problem that's been going on at Ingram High School. We're looking into that angle as well. The suspect in custody has a court hearing this afternoon, so we'll have more on that for you later this afternoon. From the 360, "If that teacher would have said F you to the left, vote red, he'd get canned." Yeah, probably. But it is a cowardly thing for this teacher to have said and to have done. He's a horrible role model for his students, and he's a perfect example of why violence is so often the first source of action for kids, because they have role models like this teacher at Ingram. It's absolutely disgusting. Disgusting. Okay, let's see. Got some more for you. We're going to get a vote drop in a little over an hour from Clark County, Washington 3rd District. Marie Perez is the Democrat. She's 11,000 votes up on Joe Kent, the Republican who Trump endorsed, Trump supported. The New York Times believes that Joe Kent is still a slight favor to make up that 11,000 vote deficit. Joe Kent talked exclusively with the Dory Monson Show a couple of hours ago. What's your internal analysis showing?
So this is essentially, like you said, this is Groundhog's Day from August. We were in almost exactly the same spot the day after the primary, after the initial tranche of votes came out. We were down, I think, by around 11,000 then, too. But it was a five-way split amongst Republicans. So right now it's just me versus Marie Perez. I think the vast majority of Republicans voted on game day right now. So we still believe that we have about 130,000 votes remaining to be counted. So we're optimistic. If things go the way that most smart pollsters are saying, we should start pulling ahead today when they drop the next batch of ballots around 4.
Okay, and I asked him why, because he was supposed to be part of this red wave in America. This, what's your analysis of what went down last night in America?
Well, here's the bottom line. We didn't get a red wave because the Republican establishment spent so much money fighting America First and fighting Trump-endorsed candidates that if you're a candidate like me, you had to endure a hard primary, which is fine, but we also had to endure a lot of money coming from the Republican establishment. I mean, I had about somewhere between $12 to $13 million spent against me in the primary alone, and I'm not the only one. There's plenty of Republicans that are like that. So the vast majority of the Trump-endorsed candidates, we hit the general with no money in the bank. Our negatives have been driven down heavily. So really, it's a case of with friends like these, the Democrats just kind of had to come in and then basically run the greatest hits of all the attacks that were already ran against us. I think any underperformance we have right now, it's due to the Republican establishment. And we don't need to listen to the PSYOP or the narrative that, hey, oh, we just need to moderate more and go back to the Mitch McConnell establishment days.
And next Tuesday, Donald Trump's supposed to make an announcement from Mar-a-Lago. A lot of people think it's going to be him announcing a run for the presidency. Joe Kent is a Trump-endorsed guy. I asked him about that.
Do you think he's supposed to have a big announcement next Tuesday at Mar-a-Lago? Do you think that he will and that he should announce that he's running for president?
I mean, he's basically de facto announced. I mean, just the way that he's campaigning. So I think it'd be good for him just to make it official. And I mean, was he hurt last night? I don't really think so. And at the end of the day, I mean, how many times has Donald Trump's eulogy been read? And then he keeps coming right back. So, I mean, I really wouldn't read too much into or take too much stock into what the media is saying about like, well, now Trump's done because a couple of the guys he endorsed didn't make it through, you know.
But DeSantis was so strong last night, and a lot of Republicans think DeSantis is the guy in 24.
But that does mean even greater uphill battle for Donald Trump.
It does, but there could be a reverse effect there. I mean, I think the more that we see people kind of cast Trump aside, especially on Fox News, for example, I think that's going to motivate the base. I really do. I mean, there's going to be some people that might buy off into the whole, like, well, if we just get rid of Trump, they'll be nicer to us. But I do think a lot of folks, the more that they attack Trump, the more his base, I think, is going to come out and support him. That's just where my gut is. When I see like all these talking heads say, okay, guys, now it's time to never listen to Trump again, that makes me want to support him twice as much. And I know I'm not alone.
All right, Joe Kent, that was exclusive a couple hours ago. We'll find out the latest in the vote count there in a little over an hour. About 4 o'clock is what we are expecting. Quick timeout, and then our favorite sound bites of the day, including... We did call this on our show, and it wasn't because we were calling out the Democrats. The Republican Party was unbelievably weak, and we called it 3 months ago here in our state. We'll share that with you as part of our awesome audio next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
I already have a partially torn rotator cuff, so I shouldn't pat myself on the back too much. But we did call that this was going to be a bad night for Republicans in Washington State 3 months ago. This is from our show on August 18th, because I could see that the Republicans here in Washington had no fight in them at all. There's no fight. And I don't understand that. You know why this radio show gets the highest ratings in the United States? Because I got so much fight in me. Even though most of the things that I support politically, socially, the candidates that I tend to support, they tend to lose around here. I don't know if you've noticed that about me, but I don't tend to go with the flow. I don't agree just for the sake of, oh, the mob will like me better if I just agree with everything. But I got some fight in me still. I have more today than I've ever had.
And I look at this Republican Party, and I think, where's your fight?
Yeah, I didn't see any fight in the Republicans. So I'm not surprised by the poor showing last night. Joe Biden had a rare press conference, and Americans apparently do not want him to run for re-election because, you know, he's cognitively declining. He was asked if that's going to factor in.
Obviously, a lot of attention on 2024 now that the votes have been cast in the midterms. Two-thirds of Americans in exit polls say that they don't think you should run for re-election. What is your message to them, and how does that factor into your final decision about whether or not to run for re-election?
It doesn't.
What's your message to them? To those two-thirds of Americans?
Watch me.
Okay, one more.
Yeah, we're watching. We just don't like what we're seeing.
Republicans have made it clear that if they do take control of the House, that they want to launch a raft of investigations on day one into your handling of Afghanistan, the border. They want to look into some of your cabinet officials. They want to investigate you. They may even want to investigate your son. What's your message to Republicans who are considering investigating your family and particularly your son Hunter's business dealings?
Lots of luck in your senior year, as my coach used to say. Look, I think the American public wants us to move on and get things done for them.
I think there are a lot of things that need to be investigated, with Hunter especially, and the crime family and how much they've profited from Hunter's dealings and selling of his dad's name and position. Ron DeSantis in Florida. That's a politician who had a great night last night.
We have embraced freedom. We have maintained law and order. We have protected the rights of parents. We have respected our taxpayers, and we reject woke ideology. We fight the woke in the legislature. We fight the woke in the schools. We fight the woke in the corporations. We will never, ever surrender to the woke mob. Florida is where woke goes to die.
And then let's finish on an even more uplifting note. This is National Letter of Intent Signing Day for high school athletes. Brock Heward was on with me an hour ago, their middle daughter, Brock and Molly's middle daughter, Macy, signed to play basketball with her sister at the University of Montana.
When you give of all you have, Macy, it's so contagious. You bring out the best in others and give permission for others to do the same. It is my pleasure to introduce and celebrate the signing of Macy Heward, who joins her sister at the University of Montana.
I would first like to start off by saying how thankful I am to God for blessing me with the abilities and giving me the opportunity to play the sport that I love at the University of Montana. I am so grateful for all the people who have impacted me on this journey. A big thank you to my parents for serving me constantly and pushing me to be my best. Haley, I can't wait to play with you again in college, and thank you for being an amazing example for me. And Titus, thank you for the countless hours you've spent watching me play. Thank you to my grandparents and the rest of my extended family for the constant support and love throughout all these years. Thank you, Christy, Coach Metzger, Coach Byram, Coach Ebony, Coach Brooke, and Coach A for growing me as a person and player. Thank you, Derek, for instilling confidence in my game and for countless hours of training. Thank you, Coach Jess, for teaching me how to incorporate my faith into basketball and being a great mentor for me. Thank you to all my teammates and friends. You guys have brought so much joy to this journey. And a big thank you to the Montana coaches for believing in me and giving me the opportunity to play at the next level. Go Grizz.
Very cool. Congratulations to Macy Heward. That is a wonderful family. I love them all. All right, that's it. I got to get out of here. The John Curley and Sherry Oliker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazier than ever times. And I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. And